PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And we are live with episode 19 of Off Course. I am your host, Canadan, or Dan Edwards, I suppose. I always read Canadan on the screen here. You can find me on Twitter at Canadan Golf. And with me, as always, is the co-host extraordinaire, Rob Miller, a.k.a. at Rob Miller Time on numerous social media elements.
Anywhere, wherever you want to find
it. You can also follow us at Off Course THP on both Instagram and Twitter. We are coming to you thanks in large part to the THP Radio Network. And we do want to give a shout out to our fellow podcaster extraordinaire at Golf Unfiltered. Go ahead and take a listen to Adam if you don't already. It's outstanding content. I agree with absolutely none of it, but I love being a part of it. Rob, what's up, man?
I agree with part of it.
Which part?
I can understand. I think it was just the chicken fingers thing. I think I don't know if there's anything else really that
or
that
we are that. 1 minute, 4 seconds, and we're already talking about food.
I know. It's tough. It's really tough not to slip that food in there.
We're going to change Off Course to the fifth course, and it's going to be a food podcast.
I would like that. Think outside the bun.
Just tell me how you're doing already so we can get this started.
I'm doing okay. Not so good on the golf front, though. But, you know, everything else is fine, but I was...
Wait.
Go ahead.
Is this like a tin cup moment? You... introducing El Hozel, a little chili dip.
No, I wish. Is it chili dip? We can't get rid of food, can we?
Oh, that's a tin cup, man. It's pure quotes. It's not my fault.
No, I know El Hozel.
Rome.
No, nothing. I wish that was it, but I was stepping up. So I told you I was going to play different irons this week. That I think this directly contributed to the problem.
Okay,
is so I took
already
out,
got a fault. Perfect.
Yeah, I took out some. TM, I think there were 760s, P760s, and shafted up with some really stiff steel fiber shafts that I shouldn't be playing with, and was really overswinging, like all front nine, like just really trying to hit. And actually, now that you bring it up, I think I had a hosel rocket on the ninth hole. So I was in bad shape moving to 10.
Okay.
Got to 10. Took out the driver, swung, and immediately knew that I had ripped apart my left knee.
Oh.
No lie. I didn't know.
Ripped apart. That is graphic. We are not a video podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to pay attention closely to the words that are being used by my friend Rob here. Ripped apart. We are talking on the ground, rolling, screaming.
Yeah, no, it was more like, I would say it was almost like someone was ripping Velcro in your knee.
Oh, no.
So it took me, that was Saturday, so this is a full 6 days later, to get an appointment for someone to see me. So it seems like torn lateral meniscus, which is basically like cartilage between the bones in your knee and so forth. Possibility that it could heal on its own, but man, it is pretty damn painful right now. So I got some, whatever medication they gave me today, I just took it. So I don't even know what.
Oh, nice. So basically we want this to be a long episode to see really how off course it can go.
Yeah, I might start hitting the drums back here and everything like that. We'll see how I feel, but I don't see me getting out on a golf course in the foreseeable future. I think the only golf for me in the, cause I can't get an MRI for about 2 weeks. Again, just busy. I'm like, what is this, Canada? Come on.
Shots fired.
Sorry, dude. So I have to wait 2 weeks for an MRI. So I guess I can do your 100 putts a day challenge for no reason. Because I'm
forcefully taking the Canadan approach to improvement in the game when he can't even play.
That's right.
So do you think this is like an off-season cap and gown style adjustment to the old knee?
It might. I think I might wind up coming back. It all depends. I don't trust it to even swing a golf club for sure. But maybe I got to work in the Trevino swing. You know, maybe I got to get that little open stance, you know, and not have to worry about it. I'm big on Trevino. You saw the post this week. So maybe I'm thinking I'm already at that stage, and this only happened less than a week ago. So I understand where my mind's at.
I have like 100 things to say about this. 100.
Go.
Let's start. Did you finish the round?
Maybe. Huh?
Did you finish the round?
No, I walked right to the car.
Okay.
That was it.
And this is the follow-up to that, because I think it's critical here. The 10th hole is generally speaking close to the parking lot. Is that accurate in this case?
It's not close enough. It is actually one hole away.
Okay.
So you have to walk all the way up the hill the whole way and head back to the parking lot.
So let's say you're on like 16 and it's the furthest point away from the clubhouse. Do you commit or do you just bail?
Because of the nature of, I've never had this happen before, so it didn't feel like a ligament. So I wasn't like, I didn't have like a floppy leg or something. So I would have probably just called the clubhouse and someone would have come out on a cart and picked me up, because I would not, it's that bad where I would not have been able to finish the round. No way.
Were you in a game that included money?
I was. But it was done at 8 because someone else had to leave. So it was, and there was not a regular person in the foursome. It was kind of like a cluster as far as the foursome was concerned. So,
okay. So that's kind of where I'm going with this, because your state's away. I have no idea whether it's true. I see you sitting in a chair. I don't see you doing jumping jacks. So my presumption is, depending on how loopy you get in the next half hour with me, that it's true. But if you're losing money at the time, if you're playing money or playing bad at the time, I'm starting to say Rob is making things up and just wanted to get off that golf course.
Yeah. I assure you, if you had talked to my wife, you know that I'm not making things up. The last thing she wants is for an injured Rob Miller, because I just don't take those things very well. You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, we're guys, man.
We're fragile.
How do you put it? We're fragile when we're not in good shape.
Yeah, we get a cold and everything has to stop.
Yeah,
it's got to stop.
I'll put up with anything until I'm sick, and then you better just shut the door on any idea you had. Please don't even look at me.
Yeah, I mean, Golf Channel, ramen, and scotch, not at once, but somewhere in that order.
So I'm going to tell you right now, if I had, and I'm getting closer to being done with my 100 ideas, okay? If I had to place a bet between you and Bryson as to who would blow out their knee first, it would definitely not be you. I would have not picked you. I'm sorry, man.
I'm telling you, I thought Bryson figured it out, and I absorbed swing as hard as you can by osmosis, and I'm not sure I want to do that anymore. It was the wrong move, and the drive sucked. It was an awful drive.
I
striped it,
So we're creatures of habit, it's standard. I like how instead of just saying you tried to swing a driver and you messed up your knee, instead of saying that, you said, I played the wrong irons for 9 holes and it's basically their fault.
Yeah, well.
I like how you led with that.
There's so many things where this might not have happened if, right? If I didn't decide last minute to put these out, I would not have had to try to overswing, because these are not for me. But I had him, so I'm like, yeah, I'll try something a little different, And then right before I teed off, you said, where's the hole? Is it right near the parking lot? I said to my buddy, I'm like, hey, Mike, if the parking lot was right here, or there was a cart sitting by the snack shack there at the turn, I would just drive back to my car and flip out my irons with the other set that I had. And if that was there, I'd be fine. I probably would have never blown my knee out. But instead, I said, no, I'm not going to walk all the way back to the parking lot. Instead, I walked back with a torn meniscus.
I mean, you're an athlete, right? You expect your body to withstand the rigors of golf every time you go out there, right?
Me and Bryson, we thought we could handle our torque. Just, sometimes we just, if there's a fly in the ointment, you get a little miscalculation.
So stuff happens. How many protein shakes were you in by that time for the day?
I wanted to wrap protein shakes around my leg. I'll tell you that much. It hurt. It was just my, I haven't downed any special elixir or anything.
I've heard there's some spray that works really well on stuff like that.
I've got like a CBD care package that I could put on that, but it's not really swollen. That's
like
the whole
all
thing.
Of it.
If your knee is a car, this is driver side passenger, you know, driver rear passenger.
Driver side passenger. How do you drive cars in New Jersey?
The driver side rear passenger. That's what I'm trying to say. It's okay. That rear quarter panel. That's the problem.
Gotcha. Right now. Is this your first foray into golf injury?
I think when I was in seventh grade, I tore my Achilles partially, just stepping wrong on I think we were leaving the course because of a thunderstorm, and I hit a root, and that was it.
Did you have steel fibers in play that day?
No, I had steel spikes.
I don't think steel fibers were around at the time.
No.
But I had to throw that out there because, if we're going to blame it this time, we may as well blame it from the last time, too.
The clubs that I learned on, which is like a flea market Northwestern beginner set of persimmons and blades, it's just unbelievable that those things even existed and that, the PGA pros played those in the past as well as the guys hit now, so it really is crazy.
I remember one of the early sets I had, one of my favorites was a 855, some knockoff Tom Armors. Those things are beauties. I'm sure if I got them in hand now, I wouldn't feel the same, but nostalgia plays a role. Obviously
things have changed. That's interesting that you mentioned nostalgia. Isn't that our second topic?
It is, but I'm not done here.
Oh God.
We got carryover, dude. So you're telling me in your golf career, there's only two points in time where you've legitimately been damaged by the game.
Yeah. I don't think I've had anything else, to be honest. Sometimes I'd get tightness in the back, but that's doesn't every golfer, You know what I mean? So last year I was actually through a friend of mine, he got together two foursomes to go play at this really nice club, private club a couple towns over. And he said, all you have to do is go to my chiropractor. My chiropractor is going to tell you about his practice and this and that. And he's hosting it. So nothing out of pocket, blah, blah, blah. So we go through that. I go through the chiropractor spiel, right? And, he does the thing. You stand up. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about people who are chiropractors, because I've gone to a chiropractor in the past and it's helped me. So we'll just leave it at that. So everybody has to stand up. He can tell your hips are off, you're this and that, just by standing, this is the problem. So we played that day and not very well, but then I went to my first chiropractor appointment, and this was out of my network. So it was like $60 a visit. So it gives you your free consultation, right? And you go in, and it's, your back's crooked here and this and that. So I start going, and it's like you go there and you're on a table for like 2 minutes, and then you give them $60. And then you come back and you're like, it's like, I know he adjusted me and I understand what's going on. So I went to about six appointments and my back felt so bad, man. It was like crap. It was like, this is not going to work. So I told him, and then he gave me this extra treatment and stim and stuff like that. If you've ever been a chiropractor,
I have not.
So it's like, electric stimulation. Then he put KT tape on. Then he did that. He charged me $80. I'm saying his treatments aren't really working for me. And then I don't want you to charge me more, but maybe I wasn't clear. Was this Fios? Sorry, that's another rant. But I wound up playing some of the worst golf in my life, and my back was killing me. By like nine holes, my back was killing me. And I told him, I said, no offense, but I club championships coming up. I'm
done with you. Not coming back.
I don't care if I have a crooked spine in some way, shape, or form. And I never went back, and I went on to win my flight. So I think that isn't that justified. I mean, it's
carryover success from all those adjustments, I'm sure.
It's valid.
So I'm in my mid 30s now, getting onto my late 30s and
whatever.
Well, hold on, old man. I'm going to talk a little bit about it, trying to relate to you a bit. For the first 30 years of my life, I could swing like a lunatic and I would never have any fear of waking up sore or, and I remember I had all these older gentlemen I used to play with, and I call them gentlemen very loosely because some of them are, you know, might be listening in, and if they are, damn you, but they would go, just wait till you're 30, wait till you're 40, wait till you're my age, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, at the time, I was like, just let me enjoy it. If it's that bad, let me enjoy this now instead of priming me for damage that will inevitably come. And I've noticed over the last couple of years that golf doesn't come without consequences anymore from a body perspective. I had an ailing wrist last year. I mean, there's pictures of me going to a THP event where I spent the whole time, my wrist was all bundled up because I could barely hold a club. This year it's been an elbow issue. It just seems like, and I can't think that I'm the only one. I'm surprised that you haven't seen more of this, but it seems like as we age, and maybe it's just I have a unique swing, but man, there, I feel like my future is showing a lot of pain.
It's weird. It'll just, you know, as you get older, you don't think of yourself as getting older. You know what I mean? But then your body reminds you. No. It's not like, listen, you can't just stop drinking beer for 2 weeks and then lose 10 pounds like you did 40 years old, you know? Like that kind of stuff doesn't happen. And, you know, I've had nagging things, but not golf related. I had a torn Achilles and I played a 3-day tournament at Liberty National because there was no way I was not playing a 3-day Liberty National tournament. You know, it was like, I'm going to do it. So you have to, you know, find out the perfect mix of Advil and Bud Light and you're good for a while, you know, type of thing. I mean, so that, but it was not golf caused. It wasn't that wasn't the reason.
So I kind of had a beneficial moment a couple weeks ago, getting to be involved in some testing we're doing on the THP community for Theragun. Are you familiar?
Yes, I am.
So Theragun is this, I mean, obviously, you know, it is this percussive, deep tissue, joyous little element. So we're rocking the mini for our testing. And I was actually down at THP HQ hitting an exceptional number of balls in the tech studio down there. And I think on day two, JB encouraged me to check out this mini, and I'm not a guy who goes to get massages. I'm not a guy who, like I said, goes to the chiropractor. I just typically stretch myself and I find, especially when I'm working, I'm always rubbing the upper portion of my back with my hands because it feels tight.
Gotcha.
So after 2 days of swinging, I'm obviously exactly what you'd expect. And whether they knew it or not, I'd played the 3 days prior to that too. So I'm sitting on, you know, well over 72 holes of golf over the course of a few days, tons of swings. And I start hitting myself with this Theragun. And it's like, wait a minute. This thing is awesome.
Yeah, it feels good. I don't have that brand, but I have one of them. And I've used it when I've had sore muscles for whatever reason. Normally it's because I just gutted a closet in the house for the entire day, you know, more than golf related. But that can really help you, that percussive massage. And I'm not a massage guy either.
Yeah.
I can't sit there for an hour.
What I thought was really interesting is Colin Morikawa is actually heavily involved with them. And he just had his big victory, which, you know, great to be a spokesperson from that company's perspective. But I think it also plays a little role in the considerations of the benefits. You know, we see these guys take on their unique elements that they believe improves their experience. But this was one thing that I like the challenge of experiencing. And it's not just a when you're sore type of thing. It's before you do something. So before you go play golf, you hit your body with it. After you play golf, or I guess in this case, exercise, you hit your body with it for extended period of time. Lots of good videos out there, and it makes a significant difference. I think that's really fascinating because I'm not the guy who, you know, does significant stretches prior to golf or after golf or anything really. So, I mean, is this like cheating my way, like comforting my way? You do 10 push-ups, you're not really happy about it. You do 10 sit-ups, you're not really happy about it. You blast your body with this thing in deep tissue, It's like, I actually enjoy doing something I should be doing.
But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head where it's preventative maintenance, right? Normally you think I have an ailment and now I'm trying to get rid of it, you know, and it's not what it's for. It's preventative, and it's harder to necessarily convince someone to do that. Actually, the chiropractor was trying to do that with me. He's like, hey, you're going to live like 10 years. Like, I mean, it was kind of like, hey, you might live 10 years longer, you know, we'll find out, you know.
Yeah. Crystal ball out, bud.
But preventive maintenance is a big thing. I remember having a summer job where we were in a medical like testing lab, and I got invited back to do it during the day to work on preventative maintenance in the machines. And I'm like, I never knew this stuff was done, but we take them all down every day and clean them, you know? So prevention, I think I'm maybe at that stage, because I do remember now. So there was like a partner in that chiropractic firm that would say that I think he was Russian, and he's like, here are stretches. Like, and he'd hand me a stack of sheets. I'm like, all these stretches? Like,
do I pick one?
It was like, there's like 50 stretches.
Yeah.
Thing. And I'm like, when do I do these every day? Like, do it for golf? He's like, yes, golf. Do them for golf. And I'm like, do I do them before golf? He's like, do them before golf. So it's like, he's just saying what I was saying back. I'm like, how am I going to do 50 stretches before golf? So Theragun, that's on my radar. I'll tell you that much.
Because yeah,
it's hard to can you donate like just put aside 40 minutes to stretch? You know, it's not and even that, 20.
That's the crazy part is everything I've seen says 90 seconds per muscle group. So it's one of those things where you can do it at the range while just standing there. You can do it between shots of the range while preparing. It's not really the same case. I mean, we're not on the range stretching out. We usually do that at home if we do it.
Yeah.
But I actually had a buddy who is a big fan of weightlifting, does a lot of stuff like that, even competes a bit. And he had some damage to his shoulder, and he said he just slept on it wrong. So I had Theragun with me at the course last weekend. And I'd say my only negative to the device is I didn't actually get to use it because he kept stealing it from me and using it. And he's obsessed with it. Like, I'm pretty sure he bought one and it's already arrived.
I haven't heard from him
in a day, so he's probably nonstop using it. But I mean, that tells a big story. You get these guys who are really big fitness people and they're full in on it.
Yeah. How can you look at that device and especially after you try it and say, no, I bet you that does nothing. You know what I mean? It just it makes sense. The only thing that I wish is it was like, you need someone for your shoulders, you know, in that upper back. It's nice to have someone.
It's not that bad. So there's actually, I've enjoyed using it. The primary location I use it is on my upper lats or whatever you call it, like right on the top portion. Inside the shoulder blades and up, and it's actually really easy to use individually. But they do offer an additional device that looks like a foam roller, but it has the same technology built into it. And I know Golfer Gal on THP has done a lot of conversation. She actually showed while I was at HQ just how much vibration it creates, and it's nuts. That's crazy. Cool. Yeah. Cool. So
my 10-year-old or 15-year-old massage chair that I got with American Express points at Sharp Lemon. Better than that.
I would imagine, yeah.
That's my normal massage therapy. So
right.
I have to like look into Theragun a little bit.
I think you should, man. I hope anyone who's curious, we do have a very active conversation going on the community, and they seem to be very receptive on social if you have questions. So
I need the new knee attachment.
Yeah, I don't think they have that. It's a combination of Theragun and CBD injections.
Yeah, it's just it and whatever I was prescribed.
Well, we took that way too far. I know it's my fault. We didn't really go off course though. It was all pretty much on par. So
that was pretty good. Well, I think this works well because we can just kind of like skedaddle right in there to
aging golfers. We can tickle a bit, yeah.
And so forth. The big the social buzz this week. And the last 10 days, right? There's two posts out there from our friends, whoever they may be, Maybe they're enemies now, but at Adams Golf.
Do they have timed posts when Adams Golf was still a thing? You know, like those devices that you could go in and plug in, like, I want my tweet to go out at this certain time.
Yeah, I mean, you could use like Sprout Social or something like that.
So, but did they have it way back then is what I'm asking you.
I would, well, I know TweetDeck at least existed, so they could just be screwing with us, yeah.
So here's my prediction, and I hope I'm wrong. I think someone put a bad date in there. So this is like, we're all excited about it and curious. And as it turns out, it's just some intern back in the day making a bad decision on a date and probably got fired over his content not going out on the...
I mean, that would be... It'd be pretty amazing if they never posted again. And that was it, because, you know, the interwebs are talking, man.
Yeah.
But the thing is that account would be closed. No one's going to keep paying their bill. There's no lifetime subscription like TiVo or something for TweetDeck and so forth. So right. It's got to be real. It is TM Adams, at least what they've shown so far, because it's post like 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the head covers are 2014, and then the irons shown were TM Adams irons, right?
So do you have an Adams club that brings back the warm and fuzzies?
For me, it will. Oh boy, the first. So here, let me date myself. I can remember sitting in programming school at a laptop. A bunch of us were three of us were golfers in the back row. I was back row in school, man. You had to be in back row. So I was, and Adams Golf for the Tight Lies 2 had a internet game, like a golf par 3 game, you know, like click, click, click for a swing, right? Click, you get a power bar, and then the click on the way down is the accuracy. And if you were closest to the pin that day, you would win. There was like 20 days of this or something. You would win a Tight Lies.
Okay.
You'd get to like 0.3 inches and you'd still wouldn't win. But we would try that for like an hour, like every day. So I never got a Tight Lies 2. I remember that I found some sort of knockoff by, I think it was Knight or something in like Dick's Sporting Goods, like way back in the day. It looked almost exactly the same, you know, same kind of idea with the sole. But for me, it was the super hybrid and the super fairway, the XTDs. Those things were cannons to me.
Do you think they still hold the reign for craziest looking irons with these XTDs I got up on the screen?
Oh, the XTDs, the cross cavities.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were, I had a set. I think, I don't know what I did. I gave them to my brother or something. There was so much hype around those. And I remember when I got them, they were not as amazing as I thought. I think it was too hyped up in my head, but I did play the Speedline Tech, if I'm not mistaken. I played that. It had a 54 gram, like Matrix Rule shaft in it or something like that. It was RUL. It was a pretty ugly shaft with gold and purple and everything on it. But I played that for a few years, which was pretty good. I thought it was pretty long driver. It's pretty light though.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that, I mean, when you look back, the slots in the Adams fairways and hybrids, I think it really changed the thoughts of manufacturers, and they were still seeing its influence today. You can't deny that the Tight Lies was amazing and just their breakthrough club, but really their R&D was top notch back then. And it's a real shame that they had some supply chain issues and some quality control issues with like that not movable weight, like falling out in the bottom of the sole. It was a shame, because I remember things were backordered for a real long time. So mm-hmm. You know, if you have a company and it's moving along and it's not clicking on all cylinders, then, you know, there, you can run into issues. And I think that was one of the issues. But what about yourself? I've named every club in Adams line.
Yeah. I mean, the super fair was a big deal. That was, I'd probably go a little bit further than that for my perspective on Adams. I remember, and I've got it up on the screen for you to digest, that original, the Pro Black, the 9031.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't even know what to call it. It looks like a putter.
It looks, it does. It looks almost
looks like an 8802.
Correct.
I remember thinking this thing was amazing. Now, I never was really super confident as to where it was going to go. I just knew it was going to go like hell. But that really wasn't the only one. The other one for me has to be the CMBs. Those were like the original lust irons of my internet golf career. I remember seeing these countless times, and I don't know why I never bought a set. And I played a set at a THP event once with C Taper 130s in it. That was an experience. But yeah, I mean, these irons to me were stunning. I think that Adams had a way of presenting a product that just looked good. Now, like we've already talked about, they had something to look like garbage too, but you know, every company has some duds that come out from an individual perspective is personal, but CMBs for me is like upper echelon.
Yeah, they were really nice. You're right. It's a handsome iron. I never liked the idea in the cavity, but I liked the rest of it. I mean, aesthetically pleasing, right? Looked good, performed really well, felt good too. You know, so you know, there's nothing worse than when you try a club, and boy, that doesn't feel good at all. You know, that's real. That's pretty disappointing. That's why you hit before you buy your stuff on the net. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, because like there was some, I remember looking at some 14s that I was drooling over, and I finally hit them. I'm like, no, that's not what I was looking for. You know, it was just like not what I was. This was a few years back. Mm-hmm. Not to rag on 14, but you got to have the total package, man.
Well, it's personal perspective over everything else. Like we talked about, I mean, sound to me could be different from sound to you. That's why there's a difference between putter, not just milling depths, but materials, and what sounds great to use might sound like something I'd love to throw in a dumpster. So, you know, that plays a big role. But when it comes to Adams, as we kind of rein it back in, what would it mean for them to come back? What do you see as a viable return if they do return?
If they're still owned by TM, because there's some question about that. Right. There's some sort of trademark filing for Ram Golf on the back end that like JB found, which is a Korean company, if I'm not mistaken. I don't see them like tailor-made resurrecting the brand and throwing some more product in the market. Right. Especially, I mean, is product flying off the shelves during the Corona? I know rounds are way up, but is product really flying off the shelves? So we need another company in the market. I don't know about that. So it seems like from the responses on the post that there's interest though, because I think there's a little bit of a renaissance. We were talking about Nike earlier, right? We were talking about, you know, I'm following, I keep getting followed because I went on eBay and I looked at the Rory Method putter. And I really do want a backup Method. And it's like, oh man, now I should have gotten it when it came out. You know, it would have been so much better. But there is this quest for nostalgia that's out there. You know, the Resin brand Resin is its own brand now, owned by a company, I believe it was China, right? So there seems to be an appetite. I just wonder what kind of product. Is this going to be the TM Adams to where you had, you know, Tom Watson and Gary McCord and Aaron Baddeley, like doing these like funky 30-second tip commercials. Like, it was like little lessons. I don't know if you remember the last Adams ad campaign, but it's called like Little Lessons.
I do.
Oh, it was so bad. You know, so is it going to be the Adams Red, Adams Blue, Adams, or are we going to get some product and they have access to those patents and so forth? You know, be interesting. It's interesting to talk about, that's for sure.
Right. Does Adams Red or Blue really appeal to anyone? I remember hitting the blue driver. I'm 90% sure if someone was standing beside me who had even a slight amount of athletic ability, they'd be able to run and catch that drive. before it landed. That was the Adams Blue to me. There's nothing to that product. And I'm looking at it very pessimistically, and I know that, but I'm sure it works for lots of people. But when I look at Adams, I don't think blue and red. I think speed line. I think fast 12. I think CMB. I think these superior products at the time that were a big letdown to see go to by the wayside. I mean, they had a pretty solid, almost cultish following the way that people bought and enjoyed that brand. So, I mean, if they can come back to that, I'm all for it. I love options for golfers.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't see how it doesn't just everything I looked at. I even tried to look up domain, you know, try to look for the domain names and so forth to see if I could find out who's owning it. I mean, I still think it's a TM thing. So it'd be interesting to see if they come up with retro irons or something like that in the market. No one's really done that. Right to where you've said.
That'd be interesting. You can only go so far with that, right?
Yeah, there are some, like, if Mizuno brought out like MP32 Classics with something else, like as a twist, I think they would sell, like something like that. You know what I mean?
Pro Molly Classics. Hell yeah. Oh my God. If any of you guys from Mizuno are listening, you may have that. Pro Molly Classics. That is yours. Just make it happen. I'm in.
C squared. I like it. You know, I think. You know, we had the, you know, the copper set this year with them, and that's an idea. I mean, it's a premium price point, but like, I mean, something that you can play, you mm-hmm. know, that type of thing that are kind of like the irons of yesteryear that you might say, oh man, I really wish I had those.
Do you like using the term yesteryear?
Not particularly. I don't know where that came from.
This is a fresh bugaboo.
Yeah, I have a bugaboo with saying yesteryear now, so now I'm going to get rid of that.
I've been waiting 36 minutes for bugaboo this week, and I haven't got it. I need to force it out of you.
The 10th tee box is my bugaboo, obviously.
Left knees are your bugaboo.
Left knees are like the bugaboo-boo.
Oh, no. We're done. That's it. We're through. Wait, is it kicking in?
I don't know.
How many fingers?
I'm on a swivel stool. So
how many fingers?
Full range of motion. Looks like four. And I see five.
Okay. He's good, folks. He's okay. Well, I don't want to tell you that I'm golfing this weekend, but Rob, I'm golfing this weekend.
Oh, you bastard.
Twice.
I can go as well.
We could FaceTime from the course, man, if you want to be a part of it.
No.
Okay.
How's that?
That's fine. And what we really didn't talk about this week, and just to touch on a little bit, FedEx Cup started. That's playoffs started. That's exciting.
It's exciting, right?
It was a lot more exciting than the top 10 in the leaderboard last week. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. Although I'll tell you, boy, could Jim Herman putt? I mean, that's crazy. He's like, and we're watching the feed right now. Bryson, does he make everything that's like 39 feet? Is that like his gimme range? But it's like 39 feet, like anywhere between like 35 to 47 feet is like a gimme for DeChambeau.
He likes the challenge.
Yeah. Outside of that, forget it. Like if it can't be wind influenced, it's too close.
Well, it's just like Spieth, what, 6-7 years ago is like, if he had a 25 footer, it's in every time. But if it's anything inside of X, it's a little bit problematic. These guys just have ways about them. Bryson needs to see protractor level angles to make a putt.
Yeah. You know, I think that Spieth, he went through that. I don't think he does the don't look at the hole within 8 feet or something, or look at the hole within 8 feet, which is what he used to. I think he went away from that. But it's off the tee. That's his problem. We talked about that. That really stinks. But me, I'm hoping to be – hopefully I'll be back when Koepka's back. You know, Brooks is saying, you know, forget the FedEx Cup. I've got a couple majors this year that I have to win. So I think that, you know, if he can heal, maybe I can heal too. Maybe there'll be some sort of like a Festivus miracle.
Okay. Well, as a parting, who do you like this weekend?
If I was a betting man, it would be on Morikawa right now. I mean, you have to take, it's like riding a hot goalie, right? Oh, should I not have mentioned that? Is that a problem? Are you cutting me off?
Well, we can move on.
Sorry. What about
the playoffs
you?
Playoffs still exist for some of those.
I have not looked at the leaderboard really today. Actually, I was watching the women's Open Championship this morning.
Okay. Fun. Well, I'm taking Tiger Woods in every tournament he plays in because I want Tiger to win every tournament he plays in. But for this weekend, my hopes are to see JT come out on top again. Justin Thomas is my guy. I like watching him play. And he's got the putter going, man. He's made some outstanding putts early on in this tournament. So
he's a big, if there's a lot of people that really think Justin Thomas is just going to come out and dominate this thing. You know,
I wish he would. I'm ready for it.
We're watching Schauffele. Isn't that everybody's like favorite dark horse? Does that make sense?
Xander's been, well, I think he can get this one. I like him. How many, I don't know why, but I like him. Every
we're always, we're always expecting Schauffele's going to break through. He's going to win the PGA. Oh, I didn't do that. It was Schauffele. You know, it's like we keep saying that. I think I just keep hearing that more and more and more.
Yeah. Schauffele.
It's a hell of a Scrabble word.
All right, Rob. Well, it's been another fun week. I really enjoyed this chat. I hope those folks who are at home listening or at work or driving, wherever they are staying safe and getting to play some golf. My poor guy here.
Please enjoy. I'll live vicariously through Dan this weekend on the golf course and say a prayer for my knee or something like that. And please subscribe. We appreciate the listens and every week that you guys tune in.
Yep. Next week's big 20. So stay tuned. Rob, take care, buddy.
Look forward to it.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.